So, random thought. You know how there are people who are really passionate about proper grammar, using their, your, those type of people, assholes.
You're only saying that because you know I'm that person.
Have you ever purposely used the wrong word just to get at those people a little bit? I do it all the time. Like if I know someone's really passionate, I will purposely use the wrong there in a text message just to see what they say. And like in my end, I'm envisioning them just looking at it like, damn it, just mad, but they're not going to say anything about it.
You do realize that makes you the real asshole, right?
True. True. But I mean, I think that's not a surprise to anyone who listens to this
or anyone
podcast
who
that
knows you.
Knows
You're
me.
right.
Yeah. And I'm sure some strangers just look at me like he looks like he's an asshole.
And let's be honest. I mean, there's nothing wrong in expecting people to use the proper your. One is possessive. One is a contraction. There's nothing wrong with expecting people to use the proper version of their or there. Nothing. Whether it's social media or in English class. Obviously, they're not going to say AP English class because those people were not in those classes.
But if you're writing an email, you're at work, doing a professional documentation, some kind, fine. But if you're going to be on social media, debating on my football team is better than your football team and here's why, and you use the wrong your, is that a big deal? You're using your thumbs. You're on social media. What's the big deal?
Look, that's the same type of people who would type in my email address and then spell my name Yonnie. I don't know who that is. Damn it. Spell it right. Use the proper
Yanni.
Your. Use the proper
that's
there.
That's Yanni Simpson.
Oh crap, there's no winning with this guy. Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Root,
and I'm just Terrell. You ever been out at a bar or restaurant, overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Well, we are those people, and we've been having those crazy conversations since college.
Yeah, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, episode 10. Hey, thank you for checking us out. If you haven't already, hit the subscribe button and turn on notifications so you can be the first to know when new episodes drop. Also, do us a favor, head over to YouTube and find us. Just search RGRT Pod and be sure to hit the subscribe button.
Yes, we have full episodes. We've got episode clips and we're adding bonus clips in the near future. Right now, we've got a subscriber contest going, so make sure you subscribe for your chance to get some of our money. Well, no, some of Terrell's money. He makes more. Just search Rick. You don't mind. Just search Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast on YouTube and remember to subscribe. Thanks in advance. Now back to the show. Crazy week this week, especially with the election. I had a great time this weekend, though. I had a chance to DJ this wedding in Michigan, and it was slightly outdoors. It was in a greenhouse in Michigan in November. So this should have really been cold as hell. Snow possibly on the ground, because that was the case last year. But no, it was 70 degrees. Couldn't pick a better day, a more perfect day. And then the vows were amazing, man. I think they were really touching. And one of the things I love about doing weddings is hearing, when the couple gives their vows, especially if they write their own vows. And then, of course, the toast. Toasts are always amazing because you get to learn so much about the if the people are giving great toast speech.
Yeah.
You get to learn so much about the couple that you've met with before, but they're still feeling you out. You're still feeling them out. They're deciding whether they're going to hire you. You're deciding, am I hired or not? But then you get to hear certain things about them and you realize, some good things about them. Interesting thing about this one too. I'm in the middle of the reception and my wife texts me and says, "Hey, the videographer for my wedding is there." And I'm like, "Wait a minute. Really?" So I see the guy again. I'm like, "Hey, is your name such and such?" He's like, "Yeah." It's like, "You'll be shooting my wedding next year." And he's like, "Really?" I'm like, "Yeah." So that was just a cool moment. And there's no real story behind that, just other than it was cool. No. Here we are working the same wedding. And then next thing you know, we'll see each other again in another 6 months. And he'll be working for me. So he's gonna be making money that day. I'm gonna be spending it.
Yeah. Now, am I invited to this wedding? I don't remember. I gotta double check my email.
You know,
check my spam folder.
I'm not even going to answer that question. I'm not even going to do that. I'm just going to move past that and get to my own question. What's been happening in the life of Terrell? So, and why are you in Rudy Giuliani's room?
Well, I needed help zipping up my zipper, and I heard like lay in the bed. That's the correct form. So this week, I'm in Boise, Idaho for work.
Yes, you is.
And so it is definitely not 70 degrees here. It's 34 degrees. Ooh. And I'm expecting a lot of snow tomorrow. Mm. So that'll be fun. But I had an interesting time. So I got in town Saturday, and there's a few different restaurants that I frequent whenever I come out this area. So I go to this nice little steak place, and I'm watching the game, and I'm just watching games. But while I was on the plane, that's when they announced, you know, things about the election. Mm-hmm. And so I knew that Biden and Harris were going to be given a pretty much an acceptance speech that evening. So I'm sitting there at the bar. I know what time it's about to start. So I put my earbuds in. I start watching it from my phone. And this, I noticed one of the TVs had the deal on. So this guy sitting next to me at the bar, he's trying to get the bartender to change the channel. They change the channel. And after I get done watching it, he kind of looks at me. He goes, "Hey, you mind if I come sit next to you?" And I'm like, "Oh shit, here we go." Because before I came out here, I was like, I wonder what, did Boise go red or blue? And I'm like, oh, it's a red state. Got
it. Oh, you don't even have to ask that question.
Yeah,
it's Idaho. Hey. Not Utah, Idaho.
Hey, you know, Georgia, right? You okay. Never know.
Point taken.
You never know.
You so, never know. Good point.
Yeah. And so he leans over and he's like, "Hey, so I noticed you were watching the speech and all that. You know, just what do you think about all this?" And I have that face oh, that boy. People will do this to me often. And I'm like two double whiskeys in at that point. And I'm like, I looked at him and said, "I normally don't do this at the bar, but you asked." I said, and I kind of gave him my viewpoint. And the thing was, I didn't know what conversation was going to happen, but it was very interesting to have a intelligent conversation with somebody that you don't agree with. Mm-hmm. And he says something that really blew my mind. I'm an Air Force kid, so I've always grown up around the military. He said this is his first time actually voting because he just retired from the military. Mm. And he said, "Well, I was in the military. I just didn't see a point in voting because no matter what, they're my boss. And right. I got to do whatever they say." And I was just like, crap, I never thought of it that way.
I never thought started, of it that way.
No, I never did either. But he just started talking about, you know, why he's a Republican, and his sister who's LGBT and her partner, and they all get into these arguments. Like, he's talking about these arguments he's had with his family. And he goes, "You know what I don't understand about Democrats is why are they so sensitive? Like, it's all about feelings and stuff like that. Because I'm just telling them, like, here's what I think that it does. And they just get so emotional about it." And I was like, that's a good point. Good feedback. But it wound up being a really nice conversation that I thought, especially in this climate, mm-hmm. I thought could win anywhere. Right. And so it was very interesting conversation. So it wasn't bad. I didn't make a friend by no means. We're not Facebook friends, you know, but
we're not Facebook official.
yeah. You know, we're not doing any of that. But he was a nice guy, you know, totally respect him, you know, veteran. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just a great conversation.
Well, conversations with conservatives can be good. I've had lots of conversations with conservatives, with liberals. It's when you go to the extreme, whether it's the extreme left or the extreme right, that's when feelings really get into it. If you think about it, think about the fiscal conservatives, you know. They're all about facts. Even the Democrats that are more center-leaning, they're more about facts. It's when you get far left and you get far right, that's when the emotion gets into it. And so it's kind of like, yeah, I feel you. And even one of my old coworkers, it's when they start to buy into that kind of rhetoric that it just, I don't want to say it irks me as much. I'm just disappointed. Like, I know you and you're a smart man. I've had lengthy conversations with you. We've been on the golf course for hours, having great convo. I understand your point on a lot of things, but this, you've bought into these falsehoods, this let's spin in a circle for a minute and we'll just pretend like that works. Let's throw some accusations on the wall. Let's see what sticks. Mm-hmm. That's disappointing. So great to hear you had a good conversation with somebody with some sense. And the fact that he wanted to come over and talk, just to me, I like that in the sense that he's more, and probably because you weren't just like, yes, you know, as soon as Kamala walked in, he's like, he's probably got some goddamn sense. I'll go talk to him. I'll do my civic duty. I'll go talk to a black guy today. And well, you know, thank him for his service. I hope he thanked him for his service, though.
I mean, it's Boise. There's only five of us here, you know, so.
And when you leave, it'll be back to four.
we got to tag out. There's a sign-in sheet at the airport.
Perfect transition for politics as usual, man, because, you know, just like you said, it was called on Saturday, and the acceptance speeches were given on Saturday night. You listened to it. I didn't watch mm-hmm. it. Two reasons. One, it was in the middle of the Notre Dame-Clemson game. I'm sorry. I wasn't going to not watch Notre Dame beat Clemson. So I was watching the game. When it flipped over to USA, so did I. And then when it went back to NBC, I went back. You know?
I'm sorry. I got to just do this real quick. This is my tribute to Nancy Pelosi. Yeah, Notre Dame beat Clemson when the number one quarterback in the country didn't play.
You know, spoken like a true hater, a win is a win, whether it's by one or 100. We needed it. We needed it. Yeah, so I'm going to take it. I'm going to bask in the glory of it. Yeah. But the second reason I didn't watch it, because I already knew what was going to be said. You know, One America, blah, 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 time to heal, blah, 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 president for all, blah, blah, blah. I knew exactly what Joe Biden was going to say because Trump said it in 2016. I want to be the president for all America. You know, 2008, Barack Obama said it. They're not red states. They're not blue states. We are the United States of America. And then in 2000, George W. Bush said the same thing. After the whole debacle in Florida, he's like, I want to be the president for all of America. So this is expected of them to say. I will say this. I don't think that if Trump came out, if Trump won this time, he would have given that president for all America speech. I think that he would have had a different speech. He would have finally changed the narrative that presidents have done for the last 20 years. And I'm sure Bill Clinton did it when he came in as well, too.
Yeah. But
it wasn't the politics back then. I will say I was happy to hear that he did do something different in the sense of he thanked a lot of people, and I heard people talking about this, saying, wait, he's leaving African-Americans out. And then all of a sudden he goes, no, you know, he went and said, you know, they had my back because, yes, they saved his political ass in the primaries and they came in and saved him again this time. And so for him to say, I got your back. Cool. So I will give him kudos for that. But, yeah, I'll deal with the cliff notes, and I don't think I missed anything.
Yeah. You know, it was – I'll lead into my point about what you just said. So watching – seeing the alert on the plane, mm-hmm. and then I'm trying to watch CNN and Fox News because I want to check for all of them. I want to hear what they're saying. And I was like, wow, you know, cool. It was just – I thought this was going to be a knockdown drag out even longer than that. Mm-hmm. So that was exciting. But then what got me was two things. One, I went to Facebook and started seeing just some of the posts that many of my female friends were posting about how historic this moment is and what it really means, right? And so everybody's seen that one, you know, ladies put your shoes on because there's glass everywhere. You've seen that meme going around. Mm-hmm. I'm watching that in that moment and it kind of hit me about how this was. And I'm just sitting there, I got my mask on the plane and I'm just like trying to, you know, trying to keep
together.
You didn't
go Van Jones on us, did you?
No, because then I was watching CNN and I saw Van Jones' deal and I didn't cry like that, but I felt what he was saying, right? Yeah. And I felt that pain. So true, the speech was going to be a lot of typical political rhetoric that you hear. But this time it felt different because of what a lot of people felt it would have meant if they didn't win.
Yeah.
What is our country really saying about who we are as a country? Mm-hmm. And even still, 70 million people still wanted – you know, a different result.
Yeah.
Just this kind of victory just said something about who the country said we want to be. And so I think there's a lot of healing that has to happen. It totally does. You know, we have to work together and not even just in politics and across the aisle. Us here in civilians in the streets, we can't look at each other because you're a Republican and I'm a Democrat or you're this and I'm that. We got to get out of that if we're going to try to forge ahead right? And so to me, it just feels like it's a little different. Now, of course, still gotta wait and see what happens, right? But it just felt different for me watching that. I totally enjoyed it.
I will say this. It's no matter who wins, because 2016, they said that the same thing. All right, it's time to get over it and then time to heal. 2008, get over it. It's time to heal. Whoever wins. And so now when Democrats are saying time to heal, Republicans are upset about it. And 2016, when Republicans said it, Democrats are mad about it. So this is back and forth. This is a game of table tennis. And this time to heal narrative happens every time. And I don't think the healing really happens, at least not on a mass scale, because those who are extreme right are going to be extreme right. Those who are extreme left are going to be extreme left. No, never give up, never surrender, you know. I think it's interesting to see this, because you're right. It's very empowering. And we think of Van Jones and him crying. You can look at it and go, oh, because my first reaction to Van Jones crying on TV, again, Van, seriously? But then when you go back and really listen to what he was saying, as a father, and, you know, showing that bullying doesn't work. And if you're on the right and you back Donald Trump, you won't understand the bullying part of this, because mm-hmm. you just go, oh, get over it. You know, no, because you still have to teach your kids. And if you're not teaching your kids the right way, and you're telling them everything you want to, and then all of a sudden they're seeing somebody who's doing wrong and winning, then what? So yeah. I get where he was going, and that made a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense in the sense of Kamala Harris and the barriers that she broke, because, you know, as the first woman VP, because we remember other women who ran for as VP, but they didn't win. Right. I think it was Geraldine Ferraro with Michael Dukakis, right? But then Sarah Palin with John McCain even more recently. But then you've got Kamala Harris, who now actually is the first woman VP, first black person to be VP, and first South Asian to be VP. Can't be person of color, because interesting, because this is something that you will see if you haven't seen it already. Conservatives are now pushing this out, which is, well, she's not the first person of color. That was actually, what was the guy's name? Charles Curtis in 1928. He was Herbert Hoover's vice president in the Republican Party. And, of course, a very different Republican Party back then. he was Native American. And if you haven't seen this already, you will see it. It's going to come through on the timelines, not from now all the way up until inauguration and past inauguration. She's not the first person of color. It's going to come out. If you haven't seen it, you will.
No, I haven't seen that. And I think it will. You know, people, they're going to spin it. And the thing is, who cares? You know, let's just, who cares? You know, just go in and get work done and do what you got to do. Now, what I did think was interesting is after watching Van Jones, did you hear Rick Santorum right after that? And I think this is the piece that's missing in the conservative party. Rick Santorum listened to this man, put his heart out. And instead of just saying, man, I feel you, I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
He said, well, you also got to realize on the other side, there are a lot of people who are hurting too, who didn't want Biden to win and really wanted Trump. And I'm just like, you missed everything he just said about why he's feeling this way. And that was a great moment to have some empathy. And I think, which goes back to the whole feelings thing that the vet was telling me about. But I think empathy goes a long way, regardless of who's right or wrong. Just understand this is where this person's at. And sometimes it's okay to be like, man, I feel that. I understand.
I will say this. That is a perfect example of America discussing politics in a nutshell, because nobody's listening to the other person. They're waiting until you stop talking so they can stop talking and putting out their points. And that's basically what Rick Santorum did in that point. The interesting thing, though, is I want to say, was it Tuesday night or Wednesday night? He actually made, I think it might have been Wednesday night, he made some pretty good points. And you went, Rick Santorum, really? Because he was, and it had to be Wednesday night, because I think he was really in this mode of, yeah, we're going to lose this. And then he got his talking points and had to get back on. Because one of the things I did all this week was watching Fox News and CNN, because I want to see what Fox News is saying. I like to know what the talking points are before they get thrown back at me from somebody who was watching Fox News. So perfect example, Wednesday night, I knew what the keyword was. I think I even tweeted it. I said that legal votes is going to be the new talking point. And sure enough, the very next day, that's all you heard. Legal votes, legal votes, legal votes. I'm like, they're legal votes. What are you talking about? This voter fraud you're talking about is not. And it's interesting because you go through social media and you see people saying, well, do you have evidence of this? There's no evidence of voter fraud. But they're going to say, when you throw accusations about what Trump has done, well, do you have evidence of that? Well, you don't have evidence of this. And this is where this back and forth keeps going. It's not stopping. This is a never-ending cycle, man. Mm-hmm. I'm just glad that people are more engaged in the political process now.
Well, they are. And I hope that I hope people stay engaged. Mm-hmm. And I hope people stay engaged beyond the inauguration, because I think right now we're all watching the soap opera and want to see how it's going to end. Right. So, you know, everybody wants to see what's going to happen. Will he exit gracefully? What's he going to do?
Reality TV at its best.
Give America the finger when he walks out of the list. You know, who knows? You know, every president writes a letter to the next president coming in. What's he going to write? Biden.
Would you love to see this one? Fuck off, Joe.
Yeah. Here's what he's going to write. But I think it's good that people are staying engaged in the political process. What I hope, though, and I think this should be the push, stay engaged, but educate yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, do your own research. Don't believe every little headline, no matter who says it, if your pastor says it, doesn't matter. Educate yourself before you start just listening to this crap. You know, and don't even get into the debates, because you realize the people who are debating with you, they're not educated on it either. Or they research what they research why they're right.
Yeah.
And then research, could they be wrong?
You know, it's an interesting thing about that. What you're saying is something I heard Colin Cowherd say a long time ago. He was still on ESPN at the time. I remember exactly where I was driving in North Charleston, South Carolina, when I heard him say this. And he was making this point to go to a sports point, but this is interesting. People don't want information. People want affirmation. Like, conservatives go to Fox News because they want to hear people say what they want them to say. Liberals go to MSNBC because they want to hear them say and reaffirm what they're already mm-hmm. thinking. And it's interesting because Fox News called Arizona, and then the president called out Fox News. CNN didn't do it because CNN was like, we're going to take our time on this. He called them out. Then I noticed conservatives and or right wings calling out Fox News, and even you know, just saying, well, come on, you guys got to call it back. No, they're sticking to their point, and I'm glad that they actually stuck to their point. And I will say this: Frank Luntz, he's a pollster, Republican pollster, right? And he's always been around these elections and had some interesting polls from people that he's doing. But he was on, and he praised this was Saturday. He praised Neil Cavuto, I think it is, and Brett Baier, and said, and actually called them by name and said, "Look, I want to thank you guys for being fair." Now, he hasn't changed the fact that he's Republican. He hasn't changed the fact that, hey, I still want Republican values. He goes, but you did what you're supposed to do, and you called us the way it needs to be. He called out CNN and said, well, CNN needs to worry about the they've got some answering to do for their polls. But then when he called out Neil and Brett and said, you know, I want to thank you guys for what you did, unlike some of the other people on this network. And he was calling out people on the network. I like to call them the Fright Night Squad, the To the Right, To the Right Squad, or the Conspiracy Party Squad, or the Tea Party, aka Trump Party Squad, which is Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham. Because once you get to 8:00 prime time on Fox News, boy, that shit show begins. And conspiracy theory, like, this thing belongs on the internet. This is Alex Jones type stuff. And it's Fox and Friends is right in the middle of all of that as well, too. They're not as bad as the nighttime crew, but it's interesting to me when they're also going about the polls and how the polls were so wrong and that kind of swayed the election. Actually, obviously it didn't, because 71 million people, I think the number is now 71 million, voted for Trump, right? So if 71 people, that's almost 10 million more than voted for him in 2016. So the polls didn't hurt him. It probably helped him. And if they're forgetting that the polls had Hillary winning by a landslide in 2016, which the polls were wrong then.
Yeah.
So why are you blaming the polls? The Republicans that are the Trumpers right now are sounding like Deontay Wilder about the Tyson Fury loss.
Wow. You're going to let that one go, or you're going to find a way to plug that every week.
Oh my God. Every time. Because I'm so disappointed in Deontay Wilder for that. Come on, man. Stop it. I can't believe this. Jeez. Hurt my heart.
You know, he whatever. You know, he thought he did something. But
Trump.
Yeah. I know. Like I said, it's gonna be an interesting time between now and Inauguration Day. Yeah, but we'll have to see. But still a great week, great weekend, and even came across a good feel good moment. Mm-hmm. That happened over the weekend. So as we all heard the news, Alex Trebek, host of Jeopardy, passed away from cancer yesterday. And it's sad for those of us who grew up watching Jeopardy. Yeah. But what I love about this feel good moment is you ever hear people give people their flowers when they're alive?
Yeah.
Well, check this out.
You know, here's a true story, man. I grew up, I learned English because of you. And so my grandfather, who raised me, I'm going to get tears right now. I used to sit on his lap and watch you every day. So it's a pretty special moment for me, man. Thank you very much.
Definitely yeah. A feel good moment. I want to say that was from Thursday's show. And the thing about that is, I remember you telling me about this, right? And I swear, not as soon as we hung up the phone, I went up the stairs and I have all these notifications on my phone. This is my battery lasts about 2 days. Well, my bad, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
2 days, I wish.
Yeah, I'm like, can I get a battery like that, please?
Yeah, no. Mine lasts about 2 minutes because every notification is on my phone. And I get a TMZ alert and I was like, what the hell? Like, we literally just talked about this and you said to me about the same thing you just said, giving people their flowers while they're alive because Alex Trebek is dying and I'm glad that he got to hear this. That hit different, man, because the fact that we literally just talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden I get that notification, I send it to you, and you're like, what?
Yeah, that totally blew my mind. But, you know, it makes you just think about life, right? And I never get surprised when people are old. We know they have some health issues. It's kind of, you know, this is happening, right? It's expected. So I don't feel bad about it in a sense.
Yeah.
But what I do feel bad about is the times that we as human beings, we miss that opportunity to say that positive thing to somebody that inspired you, motivated you. And we all have it, right? And sometimes that inspiration comes from, it could be a bum on the street. It could be a homeless person. It could be a teacher. It could be a pastor. You just never know. But we have these moments in life where somebody does or says something that just inspires us and motivates us. And we don't take the time to tell them. So I definitely encourage people, if you have anybody out there that's inspired you, motivated you, done something in your life that you want to make sure they know, take the time to tell them. You never know. It could be a text. It could be whatever. But just take the time to say thank you and tell them, because you just never know.
And live life, man. It's one of the things I think one of the clips I heard from Alex Trebek was when he announced that he had been diagnosed with cancer. He was going to fight. He goes, I have to fight it. My contract says I have to still host Jeopardy for the next 3 years. You know, with that sense of humor, I think think about it, he hosted till the very end. It's what he wanted to do. Like, my grandfather's one of those people who worked till the very end. You know, mm-hmm. he did not want to not work. Yeah. Hey, do you want to come to the States? No, because I can't work if I come there. What am I going to do? Nobody's going to hire this old man. I'm working now. I'm good. And he worked till the very end. And it's, those kind of people live life, and that's what we need to do, to make sure and keep that in mind. Live life to the fullest and be nice to people. Alex Trebek, I think, was he touched so many people in so many different ways, because especially hip hop heads are good. I love the fact when he was reciting, 6 foot, 7 foot, and the hip hop lyrics. It's just like, it's all designer, panda, 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 panda. But that's what it's, and these are things when you are genuinely you, people have no choice but to either love you or love you more. And that's one of the things I think with Alex Trebek, man.
Yeah. Yeah. No, true story. True story. Get us all deep and depressed. I think maybe we need lighten the mood with some bullshit.
Well, so good news was the fact that Notre Dame beat Clemson, despite you being the hater that you are, talking about that Trevor Lawrence wasn't playing. It's not my fault he got COVID, okay? Besides, and I feel I do not feel sorry for them one bit. Why? Because they've got a quarterback that's better than him on the bench. Who got a chance to play? Clemson is about to run the country for the next 3 years. So, I'm sorry. I looked at this guy playing and went, why didn't he come to Notre Dame? You know? I'm just like, Jesus, we could have used him. But we win the game, and what happens is it's an exciting game. Double overtime. The fans rush the field. Even the announcer's like, pandemonium in the middle of a pandemic. And the first thought that I'm going is, get the players off the goddamn field. Do not give them COVID. We're about to be the number one team in the country, and we're not going to be able to play for the next 2 weeks because it happened already in the season for Notre Dame. They lost the game because they didn't lose the game, but they didn't play a game. It's been pushed to the end of the season, and they were out for 2 weeks. So they played two games and then were off for 3 weeks before they played again. And it's like, let's not do this again, guys. But to Brian Kelly's, to give Brian Kelly some props on this, he told the players before the game, we're going to win this game. And when we do, those fans are coming over the wall. Get your ass to the locker room.
Yeah, I saw the players out there still, you know, celebrating and all that. And the thing that just, I attribute that to just youth. You know, you're in college, you're invincible.
Of course. You know?
That's going to happen to me. We're fine, right? So it's crazy, or, you know, getting a little too loose with it, but that was some bullshit that Clemson let Notre Dame win that game.
Stop that. Not let. And I'll tell you more bullshit with this, though. So Notre Dame president Reverend Jenkins, right? First of all, that just sounds like a black pastor, doesn't it? Reverend Jenkins. Yes, over here at Notre Dame.
God is good all the time.
Well, he had some words for the students, you know, and how he was disappointed in them. So they came back at him because they were disappointed in him. They have all this protocol on campus, but come to find out that Reverend Jenkins was at that Trump super spreader event at the White House when he was announcing Judge Amy Coney Barrett, right? Mm. And then announced on the same day that Trump announced he had coronavirus. Guess what? Reverend Jenkins announced that he had coronavirus too. So it's, and I laugh at this just because the hypocrisy of it. You put all these rules in place for your students. You're the leader of the school, and yet you go to this event at the White House, no mask, all up on each other. You can't say anything to those students now. Why do you think they bum rushed the field? It's your fault.
Is it a judge ye not, lest ye be judged?
Do as I say, not as I do. That's what it is.
Yeah, that's just... That's religious, as what's his name says?
Bill Maher.
Yeah. That's crazy. But speaking of testing positive for COVID.
Uh-oh.
You got Ben Carson. Right? Ben Carson, test positive for COVID.
You know, Ben Carson is one of those guys that should be a legend. Born in Detroit. He's got a school in Detroit named after him, the Benjamin Carson High School of Science and Medicine. Intelligent brother. He's done some amazing things, but his political views, Jesus. Whew.
Yeah.
And obviously he was at that same super spreader event. He's part of the administration. Again, all these people are coming out that are testing positive. Mark Meadows, another one of the Trump administration. And here's the thing that got me. They made this announcement about him testing positive, and then they said, he's in good spirits. I'm quoting them here now. He's in good spirits and feels fortunate to have access to effective therapeutics which aid and markedly speed his recovery. Mm. Yes. And as part of the administration, he would have that. But even if he wasn't part of the administration, Ben Carson's rich as hell.
Yeah.
He would have access to that. And this, the fact that they downplay the severity of this because they have access to COVID-19, because they have access to great medicine and healthcare, is so dangerous for the rest of the country.
Yeah.
And irresponsible on their part.
Yeah, I mean, when you have when you have money, right? And again, this is not faulting the people who have money. I mean, good for you. You did what you did. But it's hard to compare. You know, we look at so many other people who've gotten sick and lost their lives, lost loved ones that didn't have that availability to the therapeutics that can help speed up recovery. You know, so it's almost like you rub it in their face. Yeah. It's like, yeah, I got it, but I got these, so it's all good. Don't worry about it. You got it? Oh, thoughts and prayers. You know,
prayer hands.
Prayer emoji. Oh,
you know, it's. I actually had that, but somewhat similar, because we had an RVP years ago who, when they switched our insurance, and I remember they were like, wait a minute, but it's not good insurance. We can't afford this. What they're asking us to pay is way too much. Well, why don't they just pay for it? Like, you know how much money you make compared to the $10 an hour you're paying most people in this company? Mm-hmm. If you're that out of touch, there's a problem.
Well, they are, you know, and that's always been my trouble with Ben Carson. I mean, yeah, intelligent, done a lot of great things, but his political views, I'm like, dude, I just don't get you. I just don't understand. Not at all. He just seems way, way out of touch. Did you see that meme with Maxine Waters, where she's like, calling out Lil Wayne and them, I ain't forgot about you assholes. But today I'm celebrating.
That's funny.
Yeah, that just had me rolling. And so you got all these people that are just still going to go after these rappers. You got Ice Cube still mad that people are mad at him. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, dude, you brought all that on yourself. You know, all of y'all that went out and did all that, you brought that on yourself. You know, you showed that your money was more important, because that was your only argument. Was for some of them, that was the only argument, was the taxes.
Yeah.
But other than that, I was just like, y'all. And then you got used. You got put up on stage. They used you for a photo op.
Yeah. And Lil Pump got called Lil Pimp. And look at Lil Pimp. He doesn't even know your name, man. No. He can't even read your name. It's on a teleprompter and he can't read it. That tells you what he thinks of you, Lil Pimp.
Yeah.
I'm like, ooh, that's a compliment.
Yeah.
But Plies addressed it, and he had an interesting name, calling him the Coon Squad. I think the biggest offender had to be, what's your guy's name, Herschel Walker, who was like, well, why don't we just have everybody vote again in Wisconsin and Michigan and Georgia and Pennsylvania and North Carolina? Why? That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works.
Yeah. Listen. You know, we should redo that fourth quarter.
Exactly. In that football
game. You know, just to see if there's a different outcome. We don't know. That's just crazy. But that's why you just got to watch who you get your advice from.
Something else I didn't think I'd ever see was Mike Tyson saying that he used his wife's pee and baby pee so that he wouldn't test positive. He didn't say for what. He said for drug tests, he's used that. You think Mike cheated along the way?
I'm not going to say anything bad about Mike Tyson while he's still alive. Just to be on the safe side. I've watched some of those training tapes.
Dead either.
Yeah, I've watched some of those training tapes. I'm like, I'm not ready to cross that bridge. But is it possible he cheated? Well, you ever hear the phrase, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. So
I'll say this. And before I do, I'm going to tell you, adjust your camera, because you're going to be back on the bed in a minute. I noticed you kept sliding back.
I did. I kept trying.
So I'm going to say this. I don't think Mike used performance-enhancing drugs. Like, he said he has over the years, right?
Okay.
But Mike was a wild boy. I think he had to do that so they wouldn't find the cocaine in the system or whatever other drugs. I think there was just a whole lot of stuff that he was probably doing, partying hard. I mean, hell, before the Buster Douglas fight, he was, the night before, they said he was partying so hard it was ridiculous, because he just knew he was going to win that fight. which of course he didn't. But I just think Mike was just a wild guy and like, yeah, I can't test positive for any of this stuff, so let's do that. I don't think it was performance enhancing, though.
Maybe I don't know.
Performance debilitating.
Yeah. I don't know. It could be for, you know, whatever. But it does. It doesn't surprise me. Let's just say that. it doesn't surprise me, but, you know, if Mike starts following the show, I don't have a problem with what you did because you're the champ.
That's it. Look, Mike Tyson is still, to this day, my favorite boxer. I love Muhammad Ali, but Mike Tyson is who I grew up watching. So Mike Tyson's always been my favorite boxer. I was always hurt when, you know, he lost to Evander Holyfield. Because I never really liked Evander Holyfield. I thought Evander cheated, headbutting him. I mean, that's like taking a brick into the ring with you. Have you seen the size of Evander Holyfield's head? Oh, you're not going to say anything bad about Evander Holyfield either.
Evander Holyfield was great, too. I mean, this was back when you loved watching heavyweights, right? So it just doesn't surprise me if Mike did a few things. But like I said, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. Somebody's doing something.
Mike, because I know you're going to follow this at some point. Remember, I'm the one that said you didn't cheat. You were just partying hard.
I just said you tried really hard by cheating.
All right, so what are you drinking today?
Well, I'm in my hotel room about to go to a restaurant. So right now I'm drinking water. But it will be a whiskey here in about 15 minutes.
Well, after the week we had, I drank my whiskey. So I've just got, I got to swallow.
You got to swallow.
So I'm just going to take it straight from the bottle because I just got to swallow.
Yeah. I know a lot of whiskey went down on Saturday all over the world.
Oh yeah, indeed.
Yeah. So I had mine. Don't get me wrong. I definitely had mine.
Since you watched the speech, would you like to give the toast today?
Yes, I totally would. This toast is going to go out to our VP-elect, Ms. Kamala Harris, this amazing woman that has paved the way for so many other women going forward. Excited to see what she does and excited to see the example that she sets for women all over the world.
Indeed.
Yeah.
I'm Yanni Rood.
I'm Just Terrell.
Follow us at Yanni Rood, at Just Terrell, at RGRT Pod. Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts or some of your bullshit.
I've totally messed that up. You did. Look, feel like I've been drinking this bottle already. Look, cheers.
Maybe you should start with water. And then
I thought I did. Maybe like Deontay Wilder. Somebody spiked my water. They put bourbon in my water bottle.